Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Here is America. This is a little book that was given to my father as I was just born. I was 36 weeks old when we flew to the United States of America, and this is a little book they gave Australians coming into America as a gift. I don't know why they gave it, but it's 1963, and they gave it to people. And this is a little book. It's called Here is America, Facts About the United States. Forward. So it's a wave. It's a historic document. This little book tells something about the government and people of the United States, something of the geography of the country, its economy, and its culture. Tourists are usually impressed by the size of America, by New York's size, skyscrapers, the big trees of California, the immensity of the Grand Canyon. Visitors who spend a few months or more in the United States find also other things to admire: the hospitality and friendly spirit of the people in the small towns, the diversity of the customs and cultures. A distinguished professor from Europe had been led to believe that the American cities were noisy and that life in the United States was quite hectic. He was pleasantly surprised by the quiet and serenity he found during his 2-year resident in the American university. Although university towns are not typical, neither is the hustle of New York or Chicago. This book naturally leaves out a great many interesting facts about the United States, but it may encourage people in their other countries to want to read a great deal more about America, its people, its history, and customs. So it's beginning to fade a little bit. Contents. That's actually 81 pages. Outstanding dates. Land and its people. So, this is... an A6 book, and there's a black and white photograph of, it looks like a harbour in the Hudson River, with these old style docks on the inside and a big ship. It says, New York Harbour handles 40% of the nation's foreign trade. It's in the distant background, may be seen the world's tallest buildings. Oh, right. Yeah. Land and the people. The United States is a varied land of forests, deserts, mountains, high flat lands, fertile plains. Almost every kind of climate may be found, but the country lies mostly in the temperate zone, with stretches 4,480 kilometers from the Atlantic Ocean on the east to the Pacific Ocean on the west. It borders Canada to the north and reaches south to Mexico and the Gulf of Mexico. The fast railroad train traveling at 96 kilometers an hour takes more than 48 hours to cross the country. A jet plane crosses the United States from east to west in about 5 hours. Taking off at an Atlantic Coast airport, the plane is soon flying over the gentle slopes of the Appalachian Mountains. Then, for hundreds of kilometers, it crosses the fertile fields of the farm belt of the Great Midwest. To the north of the, on clear days, passengers may see the Great Lakes lying between the United States and Canada. Continuing to the west, the plane flies over vast prairies through cattle grazing countries. Soon, the snow-topped Rocky Mountains appear in the distance. After crossing these high ranges, the plane can almost glide from its great altitude into the rich valleys of California and finally to the landing not far from the beaches of the Pacific Ocean, including the newly added states of Alaska and Hawaii. United States covers an area of 9 million square kilometers. Alaska's borders with northwestern Canada. High lies in the Pacific, 3,020 kilometers from the mainland. Alaska is the largest area of all the 50 states, and Texas, in the southern part of the country, is second in size. Texas alone is larger than France, and Alaska is twice as big as Texas. From the Apple, just wonder whether they've actually got the fact right. I'd be interested to know that. Because if you, I think it looks that big on the, prediction maps. From the Appalachians, I mean, this poor thing, when does this publish? This has got publication date. Nope. Is it any sign of publication date? No publication dates, but I can tell you it's a 1962 book. From the Appalachians in the eastern United States to the Rocky Mountains in the west, the center of the country is drained by the Mississippi-Missouri rivers with their branches. Oh, there's the Mississippi-Missouri rivers. These rivers form 19,000 kilometer system of waterway that are connected to the Great Lakes in the north by a canal. The Mississippi is one of the world's great rivers. It's known to the American Indians as the Father of Waters. It is almost 6,400 kilometers long from the source of its main branch, the Missouri River, which rises in the northern Rocky Mountains, which obviously doesn't rise, it drains, to the mouth of the Mississippi in the Gulf of Mexico. There are other important rivers, the Yukon in Alaska, nearly 3,168 kilometers long, the Rio Grande, which flows some 2,880 kilometers and forms part of the United States-Mexico border. The Columbia, which rises in Western Canada and continues into the United States for 1,942 kilometers west. Obviously I don't understand the word rising. A river rising. I've repeated it several times here. I was going to say something about this. Okay, here's a picture on the left. More and more Americans are moving westward. Here, Salt Lake City, Utah, is headquarters of the Mormon Church. It's just a black and white photograph. And here, this view of Honolulu and Hawaii shows the famous Waikiki Beach. The landmark Diamond Head looms in the distance. I've walked up there. Of the Rocky Mountains and Colorado, which begins the Rocky Mountains and flows southwest for 2,186 kilometers. Of the 342 of these kilometers, it flows through the famous magnificent Grand Canyon. Okay. Carved through the ages by its waters. Other well-known rivers include the Hudson, which pours into the Atlantic Ocean at New York City, the Potomac bordering the national capital of Washington, and Ohio, a branch of the Mississippi that flows west from the Appalachian Mountains. Okay, a lot of rivers thing. That's a very well put. The people. The United States has long been known as the melting pot because so many people from all over the world make up its population. The first immigrants in American history came from England and the Netherlands. I'd say the Netherlands first, mate. Immigrants from many other countries then began arriving and are still coming. The greatest numbers came in the years 1880 to 1914. Between 1820 and 1961, which is when this book was published, the United States admitted 42 million immigrants. Most of them came from Europe, and many came from Latin America, Asia, Africa, Australia. No way, mate. Canada. Some 500,000 American Indians, descendants of the Americans. This is beautiful. They still say Indians. They wouldn't say that nowadays. America's North first inhabitants dwell in the United States. Half of the Indians live on land set aside for them in 30 states. There are more than 300 separate tribes, the largest Navajo tribe in the Southwest. Negroes, you like this? Negroes first came to America from Africa as slaves in 1863. President Lincoln freed those still enslaved. Negroes now make up 10% of the population. They lived, and that's right, I remember, we were educated how to speak to Americans, and they said, oh, don't call us Negroes. It's amazing that you get all these documents here. And look, I'm not being racist. I'm reading a 1961 document. They once lived in the South, but now are scattered throughout the nation. In the midwestern city of Chicago, for example, the Negro population is now 800,000, almost three times of what it was in 1940. New York State has the largest Negro population of 1.4 million people, an increase of 500,000 in 10 years. In Hawaii, more than a third of the inhabitants are Japanese. A fourth, Caucasian, 15% are people from Polynesia, background poor Polynesians. And the others are mainly Filipinos, Koreans, Puerto Ricans, and Chinese. Yeah, that is pretty amazing. Poor Hawaii. Just the history of that just makes me weep. Okay, every 10 years, the United States makes a complete count and census of the peoples and industry. When first count was made in 1790, the new nation was less than 4 million people, almost living on the East Coast. Today, there's more than 182, and I think there's now, I don't know what the population is, it's huge population, it's 320 million, I don't know. So 182 million. In the past 20 years, many people have moved to the western part of the country. The state of California on the Pacific Coast is now the second largest in population. It's now the largest in population, I think. The East Coast state is New York is still the first. Another western state, Colorado, is growing almost twice as fast as the nation as a whole. It is true that when I went there in 75, it was just all these classic American jackhammers and steel girders going down. Some of the other western states, such as Arizona and Nevada, have now about 70% more people than they did in 1950. 70% in, we're talking 10 years. Now, the southern state of Florida, known, and it's interesting how Florida was given, that the people who hated the English, the Russians gave them Alaska, basically gave them Alaska because they hated the English so much. Yeah, poor England. And it's also really interesting that the American War of Independence was about saying, the English saying, we've had the French war and you can't expand into Indian lands. And the actual Americans said, look, I want to expand into American Indian lands. So it was an English... Yeah, okay. Fairbanks is the second largest city in the state of Alaska. It's near the Arctic Circle, but its summers can be very warm there. Oh, Fairbanks looks a complete loose. Oh, here's the United Nations headquarters in New York City. The dome structure is the General Assembly building, and the right is a 39-story secretariat, and it looks very big in this 1960s stuff. Has increased nearly 80% of the population since 1950, whatever that is. Now, there are other population changes. There's nearly 55 million young people in the United States between the ages of 5 and 21. And that's happened in Melbourne when I grew up. 1 in 4, well, the majority of people in Melbourne when I grew up were young people. It was a really young city when I grew up then, but now it's sort of old farts. So Melbourne's not in America, it's in Australia, down in the south in Victoria, for 28% more than there were 10 years ago. There are 16,000 people over the age of 65, nearly one-third more than there were 10 years ago. Iran is a very interesting thing. Well, I had friends who went over there in the 90s, and I think half the population were under 25. It's just outrageous. Today, two-thirds of the Americans live in towns, cities or suburbs. Only about 60 million live in rural areas. Two-thirds of all families live in separate households, and 60% own their own homes. The number of households have increased from 46 million in early 50 to 53 million. This is due in part to the sharp rise in the birth rate. Not for long. Some 4.5 million, this is the baby boomers, obviously. Well, I was at the end of the baby boomers. I was the last, officially the last baby born in the baby boom. Was that? Yeah, I was born as President Kennedy was being assassinated. The bullet was in the air above the grassy knoll when I came out. Now, the dates are different because we're a day ahead of the Yanks. In 1960, the population count revealed that there's now 130 cities of 10,000 or more, 100,000 or more people. 10 years earlier, there was 107. Some cities have made enormous increases. Arnhem, California rose from 14,000 to 104,000 in 10 years. St. Petersburg, Florida doubled in size from 96,000 to 81,000. Some of the large cities, such as New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, have lost population, but their suburbs have grown greatly. In the suburbs, there are plenty of room for gardens and places for children to play. Shopping centres, schools, churches, theatres and community centres have been built in great numbers to serve the suburbs. New York remains the largest city. In 1960, its population was 7.78 million. I'm going to read it the old way. For the first time, the population in the suburbs, people living in the surrounding country, exceeded the city, and that was 10,000 more, 7.79 million. The city is 840 kilometres of waterfront, gives us the largest harbour in the world. It is visited by more than 1,000 ships a month, carrying nearly 1 million passengers, with cargoes valued at 40% of all the US ocean-borne trade. Chicago, Illinois is the second largest city with 3.5 million inhabitants. Los Angeles, California is the third population with $2.4 million. And so Sydney now, this is pretty amazing because we were just shocked. I remember our family was just shocked when they went to the United States. It was so big. And I remember every minute was amazing. Just shopping in the supermarket, coming home with a grocery bag. People just laughed at it. The city is an important American history. The Declaration of Independence and the Federal Constitution were born there. The national capital, Washington, is the ninth in size with a population of 760,000. The first city especially planned and built in the national national capital is laid out on the by French architect Pierre Lafont in the 18th century. A city of great beauty and the centre of world affairs is also becoming a leading cultural centre. Go Washington DC. The government. I love the government. And here's a picture. A busy metropolitan street. This 28 glass building reflects neighborhood buildings in New York's Fifth Avenue. And here it is. So you can imagine us Aussies coming out there in 1960. Government, the system of government. The United States is a federal union of 50 states. The District of Columbia is a seat of national government. The federal constitution outlines the structure of the national government, its power activities. Other activities are the responsibility of individual states which have their own constitution and laws. Within each state are counties, townships, cities, and villages which have their own government. All government in the United States is, quote, by and for the people, members of Congress, the president, the state leaders, and those who govern counties and cities are elected by popular vote. You get that to your head, your Viet Cong. Heads of federal departments are named by the president, and judges are either elected directly by the people or appointed by elected officials. Voting is done in secret, so no one knows from whom a citizen is voting. Public officials may be removed from office for failing to perform their duties properly. You wish, wouldn't you? Okay, when the Constitution was written in 1787, which is at the peak of the French Revolution, there were only 13 states. The drafters of the Constitution said the future might bring need for changes, so they provided for adding amendments. Over the years, 23 amendments have been added. The pattern of government planned so long ago for 13 states today meets the needs of 50 states and over 45 times as many people. Wow. Individual rights and freedoms are assured by the Constitution and listed. Remember, this is before the Bay of Pigs. It could have been, it was after the Bay of Pigs. Kennedy got shot before this book came out. Okay. Well, he would have been shot. He would have been still alive. This would have been during the Bay of Pigs. It would have been put to press during the Bay of Pigs. Okay. They include freedom of speech and press and worship, the rights of citizens to meet peacefully, the right to be secure in one's home against unreasonable searches and seizures of persons or property, the right for any person to be charged with breaking the law to have a speedy trial and a jury of fellow citizens. I don't think that actually happens. The jury only happens if you really break a big law. Otherwise, you'd have the jury out for parking offence. The Constitution divides the power of the government into three branches: the executive, head by the president; the legislative, which includes the Houses of Congress, and the Senate, and the House of Representatives; and the judicial, which is headed by the Supreme Court, which is sort of like a little bit of a difference from the Diocletian's separation of powers, which he introduced, good old Serbian person, Serbian emperor of the Romans. The constitution limits the powers of each branch and prevents any one branch from gaining undue power. For example, the constitution gives Congress authority to make laws necessary for the common defence of the good of the nation. As the country has grown, these laws have been adopted to provide more social welfare, public works, economic controls, and protections of the rights of labour. But if any law passed by Congress is signed and signed by the President is contested, it can be held unconstitutional by the Supreme Court and nullified. One would hope that would be true. Because I'm going to build a wall. Oh, here's a thing. Here's a town meeting, and it's got all these people. There's a, all wearing coats and ties, and one person's got a bow tie and a holding a newspaper. Someone's got one of those Depression hats on. A town meeting best represents democracy in action. Local citizens freely discuss and take action on civic problems and needs, as if that happens nowadays. Or there's the internet, you know. The whole system of American government is based on the long-established principles. The people believe that the government should provide a framework of law and order in which they are left free to run their own lives. The state governments follow much the same pattern as the federal government. Each governor is a chief executive, and the powers are divided between the executive, legislative, and judicial branches. So we've got the four estates, which is government, legal, press, and the fourth estate's the press, government, legal, religious. Oh yeah, that would be religious. That's the third, fourth, and it's mentioned the three estates were met in France. It was very well understood. State governments manages such affairs as highway building and public higher education. The federal government deals with the national and international problems and the problems that involve more than one state. Laws affecting the daily lives of citizens are enforced by the police in the cities and towns. Agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the famous FBI, track down criminals who cross state borders or who break federal laws. Because an accused person can be put on trial for a serious crime in a federal court or in the courts of many states, his case must be presented to a grand jury of private citizens who decide whether there is enough evidence of guilt to try him. So your grand jury is a pre-committal hearing in Australia. Organisation of the federal government. Let's see how I'm doing for time. Okay, the President of the United States is chosen in a national election for a 4-year term of office and may be re-elected for a second term. I think they changed that for FDR or something like that. He must be a native-born citizen of at least 35 years old. His salary is $100,000 a year, and he also gets an extra $50,000 for expenses, but he must pay a federal income tax on the whole amount. He gets an added $40,000 tax-free for travel and entertainment and is provided with a home, the White House. As the head of the executive branch, his duty is to carry out government programs and to enforce law. He recommends many laws to Congress and requests money from federal government operation. If he refuses to sign a bill passed by Congress, a two-thirds vote of houses is needed to overrule his veto to make the bill a law. The president appoints federal judges, ambassadors, and hundreds of government officials. So that's interesting. A presidential veto can be actually vetoed. Under the president, there are 10 executive departments. The heads of these departments form a council known as the president's cabinet. They are appointed by the president with the Senate's approval. The Department of State, headed by the Secretary of State, advises the president on foreign affairs. The department carries relations with other countries, issues passports to American citizens who wish to travel abroad, and visas to visit to the United States. The Treasury Department manages the government's finances, collects taxes, coins, and prints and coins, and prints money. He is also in charge of the Coast Guard. What? The Treasury is in charge of the Coast Guard, which is watches over the coastal areas and prevents goods from being brought into the country without payment and duties. In fact, that's the way it should be. You shouldn't have your Coast Guard, like we have in Australia, a special paramilitary border force. What the heck's going on here? Here's a lovely picture of, and you can imagine, this is a picture of the Capitol building in winter, and there's a long, I've gone into this photograph. It's just a fantastic photograph I have here. The National Capitol in Washington symbolizes democratic government in the United States. The dome is crowned by the statue of the armed freedom. Well, there you go. I didn't know that. It always looked as though some big hand could go over and pick it up and lift it over. I just find it a rather boring building to look at myself. But sorry, I'm just a foreigner. But this picture is a beautiful, beautiful 1960s picture. Searchlights are illuminating the building and there's mist. The Department of Defense is responsible for the nation's security. The Secretary of Defense is assisted by the Secretary of Army, Navy and Air Force. What about the Marines? The Marines are separate, are they? And he's going to bring in a fifth one, the space people. The Department of Justice is headed by the Attorney General. He acts for the government on legal matters and moves against violators of federal laws. The FBI and federal prisons are his responsibility. There's a federal prison? My godfather. The Post Office Department, headed by the Postmaster General, collects and delivers mail, issues stamps, and operates thousands of post offices. The department, it's really interesting, my father was going over there to the United States to get the control data, 3600 and 3200 computers, and we were sending actually emails. One of the first things he did set up is a nationwide network of computers, or they were supposed to be networked, and the 3200 had to be the server, and we got back to Australia, and people said, what's a server? And so I think ANU ripped off the CSIRO's 3200 computer. This is CDC's Control Data Corporation. But back then we were a little bit ahead of the United States in email, because people were sending emails back then. Okay. The Department of Interior protects and develops the nation's natural wealth. It's in charge of the national parks. It enforces the federal hunting and fishing laws. The screamingly funny US sitcom called Parks and Recreation. It's just great. Checks on safety and VEEP. Checks on safety in mines and looks after the welfare of Indian tribes. What? Wow. Gosh, you'd have a riot if you tried to do that over here. The Departments of Agriculture aids food production and looks after welfare of farmers. It issues numerous reports on supply and prices of farms, products, conducts scientific studies of agriculture and lends money to build rural electric systems. Most farms today are serviced by electricity. The Department of Labor is concerned with the welfare of the nation's workers. It enforces law on minimum wages and maximum hours of workers engaged in interstate commerce or producing goods that cross state lines. A mediation conciliation service helps employees and workers to settle labor disputes. The Department of Commerce helps develop domestic commerce and trade with other countries. Okay, so I just can't work that one out. Because it's a Department of Foreign Affairs. So there's the Department of State and the Department of Commerce. Okay. Particularly in mining, manufacturing, and transportation industries. It has many important branches. One issues patents for new adventures. The other tests products to make sure they meet the high standards. Another reports on weather conditions. What? The Department of Health, Education and Welfare operates a huge social security program. The department also public health service and the office U.S. Office of Education. Besides these 10 executive departments, there are many independent offices. Among them are Civil Service Commission, in charge of the government employment, the Federal Aviation Agency, responsible for air traffic and control safety. Oh, that's why they said the aircraft there in the 1960s, it was really beaut, you know, the jet age. The Atomic Energy Commission, which directs the use of atomic energy in industry, culture, and medicine, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and the United States Information Agency, which has libraries and information offices in most countries. And bear in mind, this is where the Russians were whipping their ass at the moment. NASA hadn't been to the moon yet. The legislative branch, Congress, has made up of the Senate and the House of Representatives. Oh, okay. So Congress is both those two things. There's 537 members, each of whom get a salary of $22,500 a year. Each senator is elected for 6 years and each representative for 2 years. And both may be re-elected as often as they wish to be candidates. There are two senators for every 50 states. One third of the senators are elected every 2 years. Oh yeah, okay. Senators must be over the age of 35 years old. Okay, I don't know whether they have that nowadays. Yeah. Oh, here's lovely pictures. Classic picture. This is a picture of the White House, home of the president, with the Washington Monument and the Potomac River in the background. And it really does look less so. It's just been dumped in the middle of a paddock. There is nothing there. There's no roads. There's just nothing compared to what's now. Hang on. Oh, you can see the Jefferson Memorial, but there's lots of green stuff. Okay, the United States Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. The court decides on the constitutionality of laws. It looks like any sort of building, the Lincoln Memorial type of stuff. But the last sentence, have been an American citizen for at least 9 years. What? Who has to be an American citizen? Oh, you have to be a senator. You can be a foreigner, but you have to be in the House for 9 years. The House of Representatives, which is in the Congress. So the Congress has reps and senators. The Senate's in the Congress. Oh, gosh, that's confusing. Has 437 members. A member must be at least 25 years of age. Have been an American citizen for no less than 7 years. The states are divided into congressional districts and the voters from each district elect one representative to Congress. Okay. The number from each state depends on the state's population. The state of New York has the largest number of representatives, 43, in the Congress. Both branches of Congress must provide bills before they can become law. Senate alone must approve an appointment of officials by the president and treaties with other nations. Oh, so Congress can't block it. Here, you've been spared here. And we're going up to 32 minutes. I'm actually reading rather well because I'm actually enjoying reading this. I hope you are enjoying seeing this. An old book. It's holding up well. The Americans do produce a damn fine pamphlet because it's lasted this long. How many is it yours? It's old, it's 56 years old. Here, the visitor to the Olympic, another picture of Lincoln. I don't know how they got this one picture. I don't think it's a real picture because Lincoln has to be very big in this picture. So, for instance, his thumb is bigger than a person sticking out. Visitors to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington are awed by Daniel Chester's French statue of the Great Emancipator. Or the Great Emancipator. That's capital G, capital E. I'll tell you what, it's got, I used to look at books from the Soviet Union around this stage, and the photographs are fascinating. States are financed by large aid programs of its own and supported United Nations programs. Seeking better understanding among peoples, the United States takes an active part in a worldwide education exchange program. Territories and other areas Puerto Rico is an island of almost 9,000 square kilometers in the Caribbean. It's linked to the United States as a commonwealth. It has 2.35 million people are citizens of the United States. They elect their own governor and legislature. Puerto Rico's economic growth program in the past 20 years has been brought to the island prosperity and drawn many visitors and students from undeveloped countries. Over 600 new factories have been built to provide jobs with more than 100,000 Puerto Ricans. Wow. So that's a lot. That's 400 people a factory-ish. 440 people a factory. The Virgin Islands is also in the Caribbean, was bought from Denmark in 1917. There you go, mate. That's what it is. The governor is appointed by the United States, but the island Senate is elected by its 30,000 inhabitants who are US citizens. The area is made up of 50 small islands that cover 346 kilometers. That just doesn't make sense to me because it had a distance. The Panama Canal Zone, and that is the most wicked thing I've ever seen. Getting Panama to secede from Colombia so they could just build a canal. It's wicked. The Panama Canal under the United States control is a treaty with the Republic of Panama, obviously. And its governor is appointed by the United States. What? Panama has a governor, it's a republic, but its governor is appointed by the United States. Gosh, oh no, no, what? Oh, the governor of the zone, I suppose. Under the treaty, the United States pays Panama a yearly use of the strip of land through which the canal passes. Some 42,000 people live in the canal zone, which extends 8 kilometers either side of the canal. A number of Pacific islands also are under American control. The largest, Guam, which covers 536 kilometers and a population of 67,000. Its Congress has been elected by the people of Guam. The government under the administration of the United States Department of Interior as its governor of the American Samoa, 197 kilometers, population of 20,000. Wake and Midway Islands are governed by the United States Navy. What? Oh, well, they're governed by the Navy. The United Nations has given the United States responsibility for island groups called the Carolines, Marianas, and Marshalls in the Pacific. The Republic of the Philippines, once the United States possession, was given full independence in 1946. Go Japanese. Okay, natural resources. Water. Water has played an important part of Americans' growth. The nation is blessed with large supplies of fresh water, except in the dry desert regions. And obviously they can put the screws on Canada anytime they want more. But the growing population poses a threat for the future. There are numerous fertile valleys through which flow such mighty bodies of water as the Mississippi, Ohio, Hudson, and Colorado rivers. The early development of prosperous agricultural system and the later development of industrial base were largely possible by water resources. Today's rivers and streams in America furnish 75% of the fresh water used daily by cities and farmers in irrigation, 90% of the fresh water used by industry, and almost all the water to create electric power. I don't know where the other water comes from. Since the earliest date, the rivers have also been important means of transportation, which is really interesting because China is got its rivers, but its rivers are not navigable. Within 10 years, the demand for water is expected to exceed the present supply. Go Canada. Planning for the future, the United States Department of Interior has established an Office of Saline Water to develop the practical ways of converting ocean water into fresh water. 5 experimental plants to do this are being built. Go American United States. Okay. Oh, this is just an appalling scar. Look at this. Oh, sorry, you can't see it. This is a picture of a dam to impress 1960s people. Wow. More than 100 dams provide flood control, irrigation, and electricity. The Grand Coulee Dam and the Columbian River is one of the nation's largest forests. with more than one-fifth of the land over the United States is forested land, with more than 5 million acres, or 20 million, hectares in the new money, is commercial forest land. The forests do not prevent the wearing away, not only prevent the wearing away of soil and flooding, but support one nation's largest industry, forest products. This includes the manufacture of lumber for building, the wood for paper, paperboard, and other products. Despite the heavy use of forest products, the nation now grows annually more timber than it uses. The federal and state governments and industries have joined the Great Tree Planting Program. This is, again, everyone has a tree planting program. Hitler had one. Our various people, when they can't think of anything to plant trees, it's hard to know. The nation's 149 national forests cover 72 million hectares. These forests provide America's largest areas for recreation, but they also serve as essential watersheds, protection of wildlife. In the Great Plains, the Midwest alone, there are more than 1 million cattle and 2 billion sheep grazed on the open lands of the national forest. Oh, okay. Well, we wouldn't allow that type of stuff in Australia. We keep the farm animals out. Okay. Metals and minerals. The United States is rich, but not, it turns out, as rich as China in metals and minerals, but must import some supply of the basic industry. I think that was tungsten they needed to import from Asia. The nation produces some 70 million tons of iron each year for its manufacturing industries. The end product steel figures the manufacturing of some, wait for it, 200,000 products. Four-fifths of the ore comes from the Lake Superior region around the Great Lakes. Although much of the high-grade ore has been used, there remains a lot of low-grade ore that lasts for hundreds of years. The industry already has developed practical methods for getting iron from talcolite, a hard ore-bearing rock that's found in virtually unlimited supplies in the Lake Superior region. The iron ore reserves in America have been placed at 63,000 million tons. Coal is the second major natural resource found in large quantities in the United States. There's sufficient reserves to last hundreds of years. Don't tell anyone about global warming that's coming up. Most of the coal is used by steam plants to produce electricity. Do you like steam plants? With 4/5 of the nation's electric power coming from such plants. Much coal is also used by chemical industries to manufacture hundreds of plastics and other synthetics. Oil wells in the United States produce nearly 40,000 million hectolitres. That's for a funny unit, a hectolitre. I think it's a petroleum a year. Someone's forced them to use metric and they don't know how to use it. Production, processing and marketing of such petrol from the such gasoline makes up one of America's largest industries. Since 1957, some gasoline has been made from rock known as gilsonite. This oil is removed by strong steam streams of water and carried by a pipeline across the processing plant. It's believed that enough oil can be taken from the rocks to take care of the nation's need for many years. Natural and manufactured gas supplies are more than 30% of the nation's power. Natural gas is carried by huge pipelines from oil and gas fields, thousands of kilometers to cities and towns to heat homes and service industry. Other basic metals and minerals are mined on a large scale in the United States, include zinc, copper, silver, phosphate, rock, and used for fertilizers. Here's a beautiful picture of the combine harvesters. Now, this is such a joke. The combine harvesters are, only 5 meters across, so it's unlike the modern combine harvesters, and there's, a person working on each of it. Record crops are produced in the Great Farm Belt across the United States. Here, combines are shown harvesting the wheat. Okay, now, I just can't describe. The combine harvester is sort of like the width of three cars across. Oh my god, look at all those cattle. Cattle raising is a major industry in the West and Southwest. Here, cowboys round up 2,000 head of cattle for the spring market. Can I see the cowboys? Oh, you can see a few little people on a horseback. Yo, yeah, what a hive. Fields of activity. Okay. Agriculture. Nature was generous in giving the United States plenty of fertile soil, which they stole off the Mexicans, along with a climate that is mostly moderate. 3/5 of the land area of the continental states is farmland. 1/4 of it, about 400 million or 160 million hectares, is harvested as cropland, and half is permanent pasture land. There are 4.75 million farms. The average size is a whopping 97 hectares. Okay, that's a hobby farm. But in the east part, the farms are much smaller. What? Okay. Farm produce is grown in small farms where family members do most of the work. Over the past 40 years, the farm population has decreased 35%. So today, only about 22 million live in farms. Nevertheless, there's been tremendous increase in production. In 1930, one farm worker produced enough to feed 10 persons. Now, it produces enough to feed 23. Besides providing ample food for his own people, each year the United States sends about 900 million kilograms of food to other countries. Some of the main crops grown are corn, wheat, cotton, tobacco, and fruit. Fruit as a crop. Over the last 30 years, crop yields have increased sharply. For example, the maize corn yield has gone up more than 40% in this period. The state of Iowa in the Midwest is the leading maize state. Nearly all of its hybrid maize developed is by crossing different varieties. Thank you. Scientific methods of farmer that use machines are responsible for production increase. Over 1 million machines, combines for harvesting grain are used, and some 4.75 million tractors. In fact, the tractors have cut down the use of work animals so much that 32 million hectares once needed to grow the feed for them is now used for other purposes. Wow. However, there's still about 3.5 million work animals on American farms. Irrigating the dry land has given farmers an extra 4.2 million hectares, which we actually consider useless. And it's now almost 12 million hectares of irrigated land in continental United States. You can imagine the 1960s people being blown away. Whoa! Science has developed new strains of animals and plants. Fertilizers, chemical controls can destroy weeds and harmful insects. The methods to... How are we going? It takes a few hours to read this one. I'll put this under a government... I don't know where I'll put this. Control plants and animal diseases have boosted farm... Oh, it's a government publication for sure. Almost modern methods of freezing, canning, packaging and marketing farm products have made the farm works more productive. But the United States, you go, United States. Just get up on the moon with a big rocket. Fishing. Each year, they estimated 145,000 commercial fishermen in the United States catch about $351 million worth of fish from 84,000 fishing boats. Okay, well, that's actually not many people per boat. That's less than 2 people per boat. I don't know how that works. If you 145, it's really one person a boat. Bit of a war. After the catch is processed, and then the process, the value rises to even more. The value rises from to 592 million, and when marketed, it reaches the value of $1 trillion. No, $1 billion. Okay, there's about 100,000 onshore workers in 4,255 processing plants. More than half the fish caught in the United States are used for human food. The remainder are made to meal for animals, fish oil, and for industrial use, exported as canned food or for pets. 57% of the fish for human use is marked as fresh or frozen. 40% is canned. 3% is salted or smoked. The average American eats nearly 5 kilograms of fish a year. Go Americans. Now, for some reason, we've got electric pound. Hundreds of workers, cars parked outside a typical industrial plant. This is the amazing people driving to, or driving anywhere, but also driving to work. Okay, look about that. Production of electric power in the United States has doubled every 10 years for the past 50 years. Today, nearly every home has electric lights. 19 out of 20 farms have electricity, compared with only 11% in 35. The total annual production of electrical energy used for light power, heat, and air conditioning is about 800 million kilowatt hours. I don't actually understand that one. About half of it is used by industry. The American homes have many kinds of electrical equipment that make the housewife's work easier. Most of the electric power is produced and sold by privately owned companies. The government project, the Tennessee Valley Authority, produces a large amount of electricity used by several southern states. In 1957, atomic energy was used for the first time to produce electric power for industry. A dozen nuclear power plants for making electricity were completed in 1961. The combined output is almost half of 1% of the nation's total supply. The fuel energy, mostly from coal, but also from oil and gas, creates 80% of the nation's electricity, and water power accounts for 20%. Water power is created by huge dams that are used for irrigation and flood control. The Hoover Dam on the Colorado River is the largest in the United States. Manufacturing industries. Can you feel the star, Stankle Banner? The American president is on $100,000 a year. The congressman is on $22,000 a year. And ready to go. And there's a lot of American fishermen out there, one per boat, one or two people, a whole lot of tinnies out there. Nearly 17 million Americans are in manufacturing works. Go Trump. About 1.7 million make transportation equipment. 1.6 make machinery, not electrical. Other industries with more than a million workers each, include those engaged in production of food, retail products, clothing, metal goods, electrical machinery, wood products, furniture, textiles, printing, publishing, paper products. Canned fish and lumber are the chief manufactured products of the new state of Alaska. And those of Hawaii are sugar and canned pineapples. The past 10 years, there have been a big change in manufacturing and employment. The number of workers increased by only 5%, while scientists and engineers plants increased by over 50%. The new emphasis on research in American industry is a great increase in the use of labor-saving machines. For example, electronic brains now do the mathematical problems in a few hours that once took weeks of human effort, and so that's what they was over there for. More than 10,000 such machines are in use in the United States. 10,000 computers. Wow. Some of the oil and chemical industries are built almost entirely around self-acting controls. Machines are doing more and more of the work of processing and assembly. Wow. So, millions of cars are produced each year on assembly lines to great automobile plants in the Middle West. You see people producing these Yank tanks. Across a modern gasoline station spreading rapidly as the automobile production soared and have become major factors in the American economy. And there's the gas station, there's someone out filling the tank for you. And this person, interesting, doesn't have another plate on it. I don't know what the heck's going on here. This is where you get these pictures. You look at the pictures and you think, oh, there's just something wrong with that picture. And also, he's parked too far away from the gas to be, it's a It's a contrived picture. And again here, a large food markets where all goods are clearly displayed and customers serve themselves have become standard in post-war period. And again, here's these heaps of Americans going through. These are the old, you can still see the old cash registers. You know, there's things, it just looks, is it contrived? It's hard to tell whether this picture is contrived. You know, it would be being set up. And there's someone looking, this is, you know, the old shopping bags used to be these paper bags with the open tops. Okay, here's a beautiful picture of this woman with letters, and she's got a, oh, she's reading the letter and typing the actual address, and that's been put into this huge machine. Electronic speeds the mail as a clerk codes addresses for 50 letters a minute. Each letter is automatically drops into the proper routing channel. There she is, looking at, as she goes to the, she reads the letter and she presses buttons. Packaging and distributing products. Industry today turns out more products at greater speed and with less manpower than ever before to meet the demands of a rapidly increasing population. For the American economy as a whole, the total yearly output of goods and services is more than $500 billion. They're debts there. The increasing use of machines to replace workers in industries is causing a shift of workers to new industries. It is estimated machines will do away with some 4 million offices and clerical jobs within the next 5 years. In New York City alone, automatic elevators have replaced 40,000 operators in the last 15 years, and in the past 20 years, 500,000 railroad jobs have been cut through the use of machines. At the same time, new industries have created many new jobs and service trades, employing many more workers than ever before. Other changes have taken place. Today's industry put back 60% of its profits in development and upkeep as compared to 30% 40 years ago. I don't know what that means. New industries are formed with new discoveries are made. Atomic energy, for example, has created a wide range of new activities. It has made the field of plastics, also has the field of plastics and with its many products. Electronics have become a major industry employing nearly 70% of the nation's engineers, with 80% of the products of one leading firm did not exist 2 years ago. There are many small electronic companies headed by scientists. Although American industry greater emphasis on being placed on management training. Graduate school at the National Harvard and Business Administration are training young people to become industrial leaders. Most American industries are located in the eastern part of the country, but the west and south are now turning more and more to dependence on agriculture. Okay, and industry itself is spreading out, building modern factories far removed from the home plant and closer to natural resources and markets. Many of the plants have garden-like surroundings and large parking areas for the workers' automobiles. Industry has been able to scatter its factories because the power sources are now widely available. Transportation facilities are plentiful, and rapid communication systems make it possible for the main plants to carry constantly in touch with the branch factories. Soviet Union, you really worry your little pants off. America's going to eat your lunch. Communications. Radio and television have become important means of communication. Almost all domestic broadcasting is done by private organizations. The government does no domestic broadcasting and has no control of the contents of programs. Some 159 million radios have been in use, and 88% of American homes have television. More than 4,000 radio and 562 television stations now bring entertainment, news, education, and cultural programs to... to the people. Hundreds of stations broadcast in language other than English. Also, there are more than 471,000 special purpose radio operations that serve the needs of public safety, aviation, sea, transportation, and 200,000 amateur radio stations. So these are the CB radios they're talking about. But what I was going to say is that there's a classic picture when they built the telecommunications tower. Says that they said we can now communicate with one policeman on one golf course. We built this huge tower, and now a crime can go up. It's a fantastic little thing. So this is in Australia. The huge umbrella shields passengers and planes at New York's International Airport. There's room for 6 jetliners in under the overhang. Oh, and there's a jetliner, I love it. The Golden Gate Bridge in California is a marvel of engineering and is one of the most beautiful structures of its kind. I'll tell you what, the Golden Gate is actually, it still is a beautiful bridge. There's pictures of me being held up to the Golden Gate Bridge. The postal system operated by the federal government employs about 550,000 workers and has some 36 branch post offices that handle about 61 million pieces of mail a year. The mail is delivered once a day to farms and city homes. There are about 31,000 free rural mail delivery routes. The nation has more than 70 million telephones. One can now call telephone numbers in major cities directly without placing a call through an operator. The nation's telegraph systems are owned and operated by private companies under the general supervision of the Federal Communication Commission, a government agency which issues permits to radio and television stations and operators. Americans can communicate quickly with people in other countries by ocean cable, radio telegraph, and radio telephone. With the nation's radio telephones are widely used by police and firemen in emergencies. Some businesses use radio telephones in their automobiles to keep in touch with their officers. More than 58 million copies of daily newspapers and nearly 48 million copies of Sunday newspapers are printed. There are about 1,800 daily and 9,000 weekly newspapers, all privately owned. In the United States, newspapers may support political parties, but they are not owned and controlled by parties or governments. Well, they could be, but no one would buy them. More than 600 foreign language newspapers and magazines, including nearly 80 daily papers, are printed in about 40 languages. Some 200 newspapers and magazines are published by and for Negroes. it's their book, so I'm looking at. There you go. There's about 125 leading magazines, 76 which produce more than a million copies of each issue. Three major news magazines combined sell over 4.5 million copies a week. Reader's Digest prints more than 12 million copies a month. Here we go. I didn't believe it took me this long. Transportation. Automobile is the most popular means of transportation. More than 60 million passenger cars are in operation, and gasoline uses amounts of over 2 billion litres a year, 220 billion litres yearly. The automobile has brought many changes to American life. For example, remarkable growth in the suburbs the past 20 years. Persons who work in cities now enjoy country living increase because good roads and use of the automobile. Heavy use of the nation's highways has created demand for roadside. Oh, here's a picture of an intersection, and it's this crap. Oh, I can't say anything, but it's a Soviet picture as well. Okay, so here is a picture of a intersection with cars on it, and they've done exactly what the Soviets have done in the same area. They've actually set up the shot and put the cars in the shot. So if you look at this, the cars are placed here. It's this four-leaf clover intersection, and it's a network of broad highways connects American cities. Intersections like this one help speed traffic on its way, and it's like the Soviets, they have actually placed the actual cars directly on the intersection, so it looks it's there. And our motor lodges or motels are found, this is another picture, are found on principal highways in most cities. The spires behind a motel is the Mormon temple. My God, it's a classic 60, you know, we'd call it a real dive now. I love the cars out the front. Businesses are very kind, including outdoor movie theatres where audiences watch films in their automobiles, and convenient roadside hotels known as motels. In quotes, motels. Motels are usually located on the main road near cities and seaside and other resorts. They are made up of a series of units which have parking space for the traveler's automobile in front of the quarters. Each unit is made up of a large, comfortable bedroom, a bathroom, and many equipped with television and air conditioning. Restaurants and swimming pools are available at many large motels. The number of motels has grown so rapidly in recent years that there are now past the American hotels in annual income. Throughout the United States, there are more than 2 million kilometers of smooth surface roads, as well as millions of kilometers of other roads. A huge 65,000 kilometer highway construction project is now in progress. When completed, it will connect 90% of major American cities with wide, modern highways. Buses are replacing streetcars for public transportation in many cities and towns. Suburban areas are usually, and that, back, you've got to remember back then, Sydney had a streetcar in the centre. It's hard to remember. And of course, Melbourne's still got streetcars. The suburban areas usually have railroad or bus transportation to neighbouring towns. Buses are often used by travellers for long trips. Fares. Finish this off. Fares, okay, the Long Sault Dam, we've got a dam here for some reason, in St. Lawrence Sea Route. The seaway enables ships to sail directly to the heart of the country. What does that mean? It must be a lock system? I don't quite understand. Okay. Less on railroads, airlines, and many large modern buses provide restrooms and meals. Well, the airplane is a popular means of travel. There were 58 million airline passengers in 1960. The country has 7,000 civil airports and about 77,000 and about 1,900 airplanes operated on its schedule. Oh, look, there's a lot. It's operated by 56 scheduled airlines. Well, my only problem there is that there's more airports than airlines, so there has to be something wrong. 35 control centres direct air traffic between cities. Oh dear. Railroads carry as much freight as motor trucks, oil pipelines and waterways combined. Now, the railroads are privately owned, but they operate under the rules of the Interstate Commerce Commission government agency. Piggybacking, transporting truck trailers on railroad flat trails has increased greatly in recent years. The railroad hauled 500,000 piggyback car loads in 1960, three times as many as in 55. Transportation by water to the interior of the country has been helped greatly when the St. Lawrence Seaway was opened by the United States and Canada in 1959. The Great Ocean vessels can now sail directly to cities in the Great Lakes. More than two-thirds of all the water transportation in the nation's interior is carried on the Great Lakes. So at 1 hour and 8 minutes, I'm going to stop here. And so this is going to be a classic. Thanks a lot for listening. It's enjoyable when you actually sit down and read it. And hopefully, I may be able to do this in 2 hours. Who would have thought this little book from 1960 would help you get through? Thanks a lot. Another story comes to a close.
It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.